Okay, as far as Vayishlach, it says Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Alisav Achiv Arza Seiris Yadom. Yaakov sent out these angels. Rashi says they're referring to angels, but otherwise we know them as messengers. Send them in front of him to Esav his brother, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. So everybody, okay, it's either messengers or it's referring to angels. So here's the idea behind it. Ramosha asks, why, let's say they're Malachim Amish, why would you send actual angels? They're Menachem Yizkiyos Bari. You said you weren't going to. That's even better. Even better that way. Why would you send real angels if they're Menachem Yizkiyos? It takes away from your own Yizkiyos. You lose part of your Olam Haba by sending real angels, because that means that you did something absolutely miraculous. Why do that? What would be the point? Why are you trying to send angels? What kind of a message did he send? Esav still came after him, even though he sent him angels. So what would be the point of that? Number two, if it's shluchim, if it's regular messengers, then why call them malachim? Why are you calling them malachim and angels when they were just regular messengers, like you have anywhere else? Yishlach Yaakov shluchim, or something like that. So here's the idea. It's really an unbelievable word. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, most people, when they see like a crazy nace happen, they get something out of it. They get, it's called hispalos. They're just affected. They see that huge miracle and they're just like, oh my gosh, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen before in my life. It's so unexpected, you can't help but feel like crazed by it. But an Adam Shalim, an unbelievable person, knows that even nature is absolutely supernatural. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, it's a Gemara in Tainus, in Daf Chaf Ayim and Aleph. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, his daughter, she was crying. He said to her daughter, what's wrong? This Gemara was with his daughter, Chaf Ayim and Aleph. And he said to her, what's wrong? Why are you crying? She said, instead of pouring oil into the light holders, I poured vinegar instead. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was unbelievably poor, extremely poor. He said, like, you know, I know we couldn't afford to use vinegar, and I know I messed it up. I feel so bad, and I messed up, and I did it, and it's already Shabbos now. I don't know what to do. So Rabbi Chanina Mendoza says, that's the problem? You think that's the issue? He said, Ma'ich Patlach. What's your problem? Said Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Mi sha'amar l'shemen v'yidlok? Hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok? The one who said that the oil should be lit, he'll tell the vinegar to light as well. So what happened? The vinegar stayed lit all Shabbos long, and they used it for Havdalah, for the candle on Motzei Shabbos for Havdalah. That's what happened with the vinegar. Because, let's be honest, be very honest, do you really understand why oil lights? Do you understand that what happens when you light up oil? Now, granted, there are people in the world that really understand it, that they go through and they understand it completely. But me, do I have any idea?
They don't understand the why, they understand how.
They understand the how, okay. They know that oil is the way that oil works, basically. When you get right down into it.
Releasing stored energy.
It's understood that there are ideas on what the oil stands for. When it boils down to it, you want to break it all the way down, you won't be able to explain the why. You'll be able to explain, I get it. Anything's flammable. Why does one thing become flammable? You want to break it down, you can break it all down. But Lamaisa, anything in nature, you can sit there and you could say, I have no idea why it works. So what Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is saying is that anything can happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made anything happen. It's really lehepach. If somebody says wow by a great miracle that happens, that means that you're accepting of Teva, you're accepting of nature, that means you're a kafin b'amuna. You don't have that much faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just say like, oh yeah, the world runs on its own. Just that once in a while, you need something crazy to happen. You need like a little nace. No, it's not that way. Every single thing that happens in the world, everything is a huge miracle. Everything is going to be a huge miracle. And that may help us understand why Chizkiyo was blamed for not singing Shira, for not singing when Sennacherib was destroyed. Do you remember correctly? Chizkiyo was one of the kings of Malchus Yehuda. He was the greatest of the kings after David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, and Chizkiyahu, there's nothing like him. He could have been Mashiach. And the Gemara says, why wasn't he Mashiach? And here's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says he wasn't Mashiach. So crazy. Because he never sang Shira when Sennacherib, the man who was coming up against Yerushalayim, trying to destroy Yerushalayim when he was destroyed, he never sang a song. So what's Pshat? What happened to Sennacherib? We all know the Malachim. It was the Malachim that came by. The Malachim came by and destroyed the entire army of Sennacherib. 185,000 people. According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it might have been 185,000 generals, aside from all the millions and millions of people that were there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them all in a second. Absolutely a second. Here's Pshat. Chizkiyahu looked at them and he said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the Malach to destroy them all in a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made them run away. To me, it would have been the exact same miracle. If it would have been natural or supernatural, it's all the same. I'm not going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu more for the days that he just caused. I'm not going to thank God more, greater than anything, than if anything normal would have happened. And he was punished because we said, you're right, that Lamaisa was somewhat the same. But still, you should know that there's a little bit more to the nace than there is to something natural. But a shalim person doesn't see a difference between them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do nisim for people that aren't shalim like us. We are not shalim. We don't see nature as something supernatural. We see nature as natural. We see that it's just the way it goes. Okay, except for you, maybe you, David. But we see it being something natural, and that's just something there. But for someone who's shalim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do miracles for that person. Because he knows that person doesn't see a difference between the two. When a person's shalim, he'll give him the miracles to do, because that person sees himself as just being, it's just another part of life. He doesn't see it as being anything special, and that's the pshat behind Rashi. For Yaakov Avinu, it made no difference if there were Malachim Mamish or Shluchim. It made no difference if there were real angels or actual messengers. To Yaakov Avinu, would have been the exact same thing. He saw no difference between nature and between supernatural things. Just the ability to walk is a nace. The ability for the Shluchim to go anywhere or for them to think is a miracle to Yaakov Avinu. So for him to send Malachim is the exact same thing. That's why he was able to do it. So why even start up with Esav? If that's where we are, then why even start up? Why? Jacobin is on such a level that he can see no difference between nature and the miracles of life. So why even start up with Esav? Why even go? And the Medrash says there's even a taina on Yaakovinu. They look up at Yaakovinu and they say to him, they say over to Yaakovinu and they say, what's going on with you? Why would you go ahead and do that? So listen how this goes. It was like throwing rocks at a dog. That's what it's called. So here we go. Why do that? So granted, I will tell you that there's a Maral Diskin that says that the Malachim were called in to be able to mitigate the damage that Esav was going to do, and that's why you got them angels in the first place. But come on, why would you send anything to Esav? Just go into Eretz Yisrael. Where was Esav at the time? He was in Seir. He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael anyway. Go see your father. He's like, Dad, is Esav around? And when he says, no, he's not around, just like, thank God. Wait there for a little bit. Maybe Esav forgot about all this. But what he basically did, what Yaakov did by sending it to him, don't remind him about what you did. The Medrash calls it throwing rocks at a dog. You see a dog walking by you, you're like, okay, the dog's not going to bite me. Then you start throwing rocks at it. He starts chasing after you. Who are you going to blame? Obviously you're going to blame. And especially when you start mentioning what you got, he's like, the Broncos were never misguided to me, but I have oxen, and I've got donkeys, I've got sheep, I've got avodim, and I've got shvachos. Why mention that? Why bother saying anything? Don't say anything at all. Why would you say anything? Just say to Esav, I'm coming in, I'm really sorry, forgive me for everything I did, or do something like that. But you have to go in, im lavan garti, tayak mitzvah shamarti, I kept 613 mitzvahs. You gotta be like, guess what? I kept 613 mitzvahs. How you doing, Esav? There's no reason to say that to him. Like, it was such a silly thing to be able to go up to him and to say, why would he do this? So here's Reb Wolfson. Wolfson says, Maisa avosim labanim always applies. It's always for the future generations. Yaakov knew that Esav was unbelievably special. He had such kedusha within him. Esav had such kedusha within him that was waiting to come out. A tzaddik has this ability. He's able to be together with Rishayim and take the kedusha away from them, draw out that kedusha, take it away from the grasps of Tumah, and to be able to use it for themselves. A tzaddik has that ability. Have you ever seen in the Gemara where it says, he looked at him, he turned him into a pile of bones? A gal shel atzamos. It's mentioned in the Gemaras. Gal shel atzamos. That meant that he stared at him, and he took away the kedusha from that person. When you take away the kedusha of that person, all you remained with is the physicality of the person. And that means you're just a pile of bones. It doesn't necessarily mean that the person died, says the Ben Ish Chai. It means he just remains a little bit of gashmias without any ruchnias to him.
Why doesn't he take out the bad part of the person and leave the good? I mean, by taking the good and leaving him with the bad, it's not. Why is that a tzaddik? I mean, a tzaddik is supposed to elevate people.
That you are 100% right.
Taking his powers.
Yeah, but it's a
good part of the person.
You're 100% right when it comes to a certain type of person. Some people will not or cannot be able to make those decisions, and the tzaddik realizes that that kedusha is there for him to be able to take from them and grab for themselves. For example, Shechem and Dina. Dina was supposed to grab from Shechem the neshama of Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. That was the neshama that was there. Hinei Rocha Bas Yadayim is Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. There's something there that she was supposed to grab, and she knew that there was no way that Shechem would be able to use it correctly or utilize it correctly. So in the end, the Shvatim decided to get rid of Shechem, to say that it was all out, but there's a power that Tzadikim have that pull out the Kedusha so that it's not destroyed or contaminated by the Tumah that's surrounding it. That's what they're trying to do, grab it out. That's what we're doing in Golos. We grab the little bits, the sparks of Kedusha from wherever we are in the world, and we're trying to bring it to ourselves so that we can go back to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll be able to get everything else that we need for Mashiach to come. That's our whole job. Our job is getting back those sparks of Kedusha, which are now caught in the mires of Tumah. It's hard, I think it's even harder, maybe even impossible, to make them so Kadosh that they're now making the right decisions. But it's easy to take that Kedusha and use it in the right way. That's what Yaakov wanted to do with Esav. Yaakov saw that there was a Kedusha that Esav had that he wanted to draw out. Where was Esav's Kedusha? Esav's Kedusha was in his eyes. It was in the eyes of Esav. That's why Esav, his head was buried in Maros Machpelah, because there was Kedusha within the eyes of Esav. Where do we get that from? Esav's name stands for Shav. Shav is Shin Vav Aleph, as in the falsehood of life. Absolute falsehood. He stood for lies. He stood for all the falsehood there. But there's an ayin. What do you do with the ayin of Esav's name? His eyes were good. His ayin was full of Kedusha. That's the head that was buried in Maros Machpelah, where the eyes were. What was that ayin? The ayin is something full of oros. Of oros, of lights. That's what it's supposed to be called. What Yaakov Avinu took out, Limso Chain Beinei Adoni. What he wanted to do, what he wanted to find favor in the eyes of his master, is what Rav Wolfson says he was trying to do. He's trying to grab the neshama that was in the eyes of Esav. Who was the neshama in the eyes of Esav? Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir stands for Or. He's known as the one who was a Meir Einei Chachamim. He lightens up the eyes of the Chachamim. He grabbed the neshama of Rebbe Meir out from Esav. Thus, Rebbe Meir was a son of Gerim. He came all the way much, much later. He was one of the sons of Titus. He grabbed the neshama who was Meir Einei and Tyra, and he was able to grab it. And that's the Chain. The Chain stands for Ches Nun, for Neros Chanukah.
But the Neros
Chanukah. Torch Valped, because Rebbe Meir, Stam Mishnah is all Rebbe Meir. It all comes from Rebbe Meir. That he was able to grab out that Ner Chanukah, the ore of Chanukah, the Or HaGanus, you could call it, the light that's hidden within the Neros Chanukah, and bring Rebbe Meir over to Klal Yisrael. And that's what he did when it was Vayashkeu. Esav kissed Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu kissed Esav. The idea of Vayashkehu, of them kissing each other, Esav was trying to destroy Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu at that moment kissed Esav and took away the Kedusha from Esav. He took away all the Kedusha that Esav had and grabbed it for himself, to which he had the ability to keep Esav alive while taking away the Kedusha and using it for himself, utilizing it for the good, grabbing Rebbe Meir. In fact, Yaakov even forewarned him that he was going to do so. Listen to this. He told him, shur v'chamor, tzon v'eved v'shivcha. So this is what Rashi brings down, although the Medrash says it a little bit clearer. Shor, who does shor stand for? I have a shor.
Yosef.
Who's the shor? Yosef Atzadik. I have a chamor. Who's the chamor?
Yisachar.
Yisachar. I have Yosef Atzadik who can learn. I have chamor. I have Yisachar who can learn. Who's the tzon, not of the shvatim? But tzon is more general. Tzon is this chus of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael are known as the sheep. That's why shepherds are always known as the leaders of Klal Yisrael. That's the tzon. The Eved, who's the perfect Eved Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come from me. This is all the Yaakov is saying to him. And then the Medrash mentions a weird one. The Shivcha. Who's the Shivcha? Never guess it. Abigail. Now Abigail is a tremendous person, the wife of David HaMelech. But what in the world is Abigail have anything to do with this? What's he trying to say to Esav? So here's the pshat. Because Esav had a taina. If you're so powerful, said Esav, and you can take Kedusha away from everyone, then how come Lavan's still alive? You went to Lavan. Lavan's still alive. You barely ran away from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come to Lavan in a dream, said you weren't killed by Lavan. So what's going on here? Who are you? How come you weren't able to kill Lavan? How come you weren't able to destroy him? So here's the idea. He said, David HaMelech is the same as Yaakov Avinu. David and Yaakov Avinu are the same person in Neshamos. Abigail is the same as Rachel. So Yaakov married the Rachel is like David who marries Abigail. Anybody know Abigail's first husband's name? What happened with Abigail?
Yeah, what?
Nabal. Very good, Nabal. What happens? David and Melech watched the sheep of Nabal and then asked for payment at the end of the day. Nabal said, I'm not paying you. He said, David and Melech went to go kill Nabal. He wanted to go kill Nabal. It was on Rosh Hashanah, right before Rosh Hashanah. And Abigail went up to David HaMelech as he was going to kill Nabal and begged him, please, my master, don't kill Nabal, wait a little bit. And when it happens, then marry me. He waited 10 days, and Yom Kippur, Nabal died, and he grabbed Abigail as his own wife. Abigail was a Neviah. She was a Neviah, a prophetess, and she had realized that she was supposed to marry David HaMelech. I'm sorry? Nobody that we know. I believe Kilov actually came from Abigail and David HaMelech, but not part of... Bathsheba was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, so there's no direct connection to anything else. But Abigail marrying David HaMelech is mentioned in the Navi based on this. Nabal is the same letters as Lavan. Abigail is Rachel. And Yaakovinu is supposed to be David HaMelech. Yaakovinu also watched over the sheep of Lavan. And Lavan tried tricking him and trying to get him out from his Parnassah and everything like that. And Rachel and Leah convinced him to leave Lavan, to not kill Lavan, to just leave, so that they go back to Eretz Yisrael. And they left. But Lavan did lose out in the end. All his kids died. He went completely down and became very, very poor. And Bilam, later on, we only know he had one female donkey. That's all he had. No horses, no anything else. He was powerful because he had the bracha, but he was very, very poor. And David HaMelech, Yaakov Avinu, what he was trying to do was take away the Kedusha of Lavan. So Esav went up to him and said, what's going on? What happened to you? He said, look at Abigail. Look what I did later on with Abigail. Nabal died anyway. Lavan is nothing. Lavan is going to be nothing after this. You think I didn't kill Lavan? Lavan's gone after this. He has nothing left. He's garnished. That's exactly what you would describe it as. There's nothing left. So because of that, he was trying to hint to what's it called, to Esav, that's my power. My power is not to kill when I take away the kedusha of a person. My power is to leave the person alive. Let him live with the amount that he has. But I take the kedusha for myself because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have it.
What's Shor and Hamor, though?
That's to fight Esav. The power of Esav is the power of Shor. Shor, if you count it all out, Shin, The reason why is because Shor stands for Esav. Esav is the goring axe. That's what he stands for. Esav, Ayin, Sin, Vav. If you spell out the words, it's the same gematria as Shor. Of 506, I believe. 506 altogether. So that's Esav, which is Shor. It's off by 3, and you add on the 3 letters of Esav, so it stands for Shor. The Chamor is Yisachar. Yisachar was the Amadom el Chamor that he was told. So Yishmael was the Chamor. So to fight the Tumah of Esav and the Tumah of Yishmael, you have Yosef and you have Yisachar. That's what he's trying to show him. I've got Yosef to fight against you, I've got Yisachar to fight against Yishmael, so there's no way I'm going to lose any fight that you put up against me. And if you ask me about Lavan, I've got to be God. That's what he was trying to hint over to him. That's why he was mentioning those two. But that's not for right now. I could go into, shorts for another time. But Esav is the goring act. Everything above a comma, the first part of above a comma, everything about the shore goring and everything like that, it's all standing for Esav. The entire thing, check out the Marshan, the Abdalim and Aleph in Chedushi Agados. You could check out the Maratzchias. He goes into this entire idea of Esav being this goring shore, the act that was over there. Okay. Let me ask you something. There were two reasons why Yaakovinu had to be afraid of Esav. Because Esav had two mitzvos. What were those two mitzvos that Esav had?
Kibbutz
Avraham, everybody knows about. What was the second one?
Not Torah.
He didn't really learn Torah.
You learned Torah until
no. Give me a hint. The Ramban holds the mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't. It's part of it. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. So there were two problems.
No, his head was full of Torah.
I'm sorry?
His head was full of Torah.
Well, Yaakov, well, not anymore. That was for 22 years where he'd gotten rid of all the Torah that he had. But what's the issue? Yaakov is afraid of a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael who does Kibbutz Avraham. Yaakov kept all 613 mitzvot somehow while he's together with Lavan. He's a tzaddik gomer. And Esav is a lowing low. He's a lowing. He makes fun of things. He's a Russian gummer. You're afraid of Esav for what? What are you afraid of? What's the problem? What are you really afraid of? So here's what happened to Yaakov. What's he worried about exactly? Well, Yashiv says the following. Yaakov had to stay by Lavan for 14 years. Why do you have to stay for 14 years?
To
marry his two wives. 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah. So he understood that. That's why he spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver, and he was going to leave after 14 years. But after 14 years, he decided to stay for another 6. Why did he decide to stay for another 6 years? For Parnassah. I mamish hold that might be apikorsis. And no, not in a bad way. Don't worry. I say it in a very, very good way. It can't be that Yaakov was only there for Parnassah. He needed Parnassah when he could go back to the Gedolei Ador in Eretz Yisrael. He could go back to the Gedolei Hador. That's what Rabbi Yashiv puts it at. She was like, Chas to show him to say that he was staying there for 6 years to be able to make some money off the sheep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give him money. He would get money. He doesn't need to make money by staying outside with Lavan for 6 years, especially when he was told by Rachel, by Rivka, I'm sorry, to go get the wives and then come back. In fact, he misses Rivka's death because of this. He's not around for Rivka Imenu's death because he stays outside for the extra 6 years.
Not, but that's not unusual because Avram wasn't even around for Sarah.
Oh, I'm not saying that's unusual. No, absolutely not. But at Gedolei Hador, for 6 years, you missed out on being together with Gedolei Hador. For what? For what? For Parnassa? How is that Shaykh? So Yashu's Kasha. That's what he asked. So here's what he says. No. He knew his father-in-law was a Russia. And he said, there's no way, Lovin's not getting anything from me. Forget it. After 14 years, Lovin still didn't lose anything. It's like, forget it, I'm out. So what did Lovin say right before he left? He said, I'm going, Lovin, I'm out. So what did Lovin say in last week's Parsha? Vayevorcheni Hashem bigloacha. God blessed me because of you. Yaakov all of a sudden heard him say that God blessed me. And he's like, holy cow. I really did something. I can't believe it. He couldn't believe he actually affected Lavan. He actually did something to Lavan. He thought that now Lavan is a different person. He's listening to Torah. He's doing mitzvos. Maybe Lavan's getting better. So he decided to stay for an extra 6 years, an extra bunch of years, because he thought, well, if he's like this now, I'm going to show him what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can really do. And he showed him that throughout the entire 6 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing miracle after miracle after miracles. He spoke last week with the Malachim, bringing him sheep and everything, doing all these crazy things, showing him the godless of Hashem to see if Lavan and his sons would be closer to do tshuva. Would they be able to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We mamish thought that he was there for Kiruv. It was the only reason why he stayed. To be makar of his father-in-law, to be makar of his brother-in-laws. But after 6 years, the brother-in-law started looking at him and saying, oh, what's this guy? He's taking all my father, all our father's money. And he realized that Lavan was looking at him in a bad way, and he realized he was a total failure. He had completely lost out in 6 years. His 6 years were completely wasted with Lavan. Completely wasted with Lavan. He has money now. Shoin, he has money now. He could have gotten money any other way. But he wasted 6 years being together with Lavan, and that's what he was so upset about. He thought he had made the wrong decision. He thought he made the wrong decision. So he said, now, 6 years of where I could have had Kibbutz of Aim, and I could have had Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, I could have been back in Eretz Yisrael, and I didn't go. Why? Because I was wrong. I was wrong about Lavan. I made a mistake, and it's my own fault. That's why he's afraid. He was worried that Esav had more mitzvos, and he had made right decisions while he had made the wrong decision. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him something different. At the end of last week's parsha, he meets up with Malachim, Machanoim, Malachei Elokim. Here's who these Malachim were. They came from the Machshavos, from the pure thoughts that Lavan had had during those 6 years. Granted, Lavan did not do tshuva. Granted, he never did anything that was a real mitzvah. But he had Machshavos, he had Hirhurei tshuva. He had thoughts of tshuva. And even making a person have a thought of tshuva is worth all those 6 years. To make a person even think about God just a little bit, even though Lamaisa they don't do anything, that still counts, says Rabbi Yashiv. That's the malachim that were created. Said to Yaakov, look at all the malachim you created. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of malachim that were created from the good thoughts of Lavan. And you thought those 6 years were wasted? They weren't wasted. They weren't wasted whatsoever. Lavan was even zochah to a dream of nevuah, a dream with prophecy, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, due to the influence of Yaakov. Don't you see how great it was for you to stay there? But Yaakov still wasn't convinced. He wasn't sure. And then he meets Esav. And Esav's unaffected as well. Esav meets Yaakov Avinu, and he's nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's still the same old Esav, just like Lavan is the same old Lavan after he meets Yaakov Avinu. Esav is the same old Esav. And Yaakov Avinu makes a decision. Nefesh HaShasu B'charon, all the Gerim of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, they're all gone. All the Gerim are gone. Everybody's gone. And there's no Gerim anymore. Yaakov Avinu decides there's a different job for him in this world. What does Avram Avinu call the Beis HaMikdash? What does he call the Beis HaMikdash? Har. Har Yeroeh. It's the mountain of Yerushalayim. That was the Har. What did Yitzchak Avinu call the area of the Beis HaMikdash? Called it a Sadeh. A Har is obviously a place that's wide open. Huge mountain. Sadeh is a wide open field. What did Yaakov Avinu call the Beis HaMikdash? Bias. By even low, bias. He made a bias for himself. He closed himself off and said, no one else is coming in. He closed himself off and said, we're not doing gerim anymore. We're not accepting anybody else inside. We don't want to be affected by anyone. And he kept his 12 sons inside, and he remained unaffected. And that's by even Lobayis. He started the concept of Bnei Yisrael saying, I hear you, but let's not be affected. Let's not be affected. That was the concept that Yaakov Avinu started, and he stopped being like Avraham Avinu and like Yitzchak Avinu and started doing something different. There's a tremendous Meshach Chochma here, but it was a tremendous, tremendous level. Now, before he meets Esav, what happens? Before he meets Esav, he ends up seeing the Malach of Esav. What's the name of the Malach of Esav? Sam. Sam Kel, they call him. This is Satan. Supposed to be the absolute, obviously, the worst, right? Lots of turn the Gidon Asha, what the Gidon Asha was and what it is and everything. It says by Yiga Bechaf Yerecho, that he hits the Chaf Yerecho. That's annoying. Yiga Bechaf Yerecho, that the Malach went and smacked him right in the ball of the thigh, right in that area of the thigh, right around there, around, we know, by the Gidon Asha, by the sciatic nerve, I believe it's called. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but around there. Here's what he says. Rav Shor says this. Yerech stands for the way that Tcheles reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the Tcheles remind you of when you have the blue? Reminds you of the sea. What does the sea remind you of? The sky. What does the sky remind you of? The Kisei HaKavod. That reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now listen. The Yam, the Rekia, and the Kisei HaKavod is the Yud, the Resh, and the Chaf. That's the Yerech of Yaakov Avinu. The Yerech are those three levels that Yaakov Avinu had to build himself up to be to build himself up to the closest he can get to the base, I mean, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to where he is. Now each one stands for something. The Yam stands for Torah. The Resh, the Rekia, stands for your Tzila, your Avoda and Hashem. And the Chaf stands for Beis HaMikdash. The Kisei HaKavod, the Kisei of God in this world, is the actual Beis HaMikdash over here. So what did the Sam do? He hit him Bechaf Yerecho. In the Chaf of the Yerech. Meaning he destroyed him within the Chaf. Where's the Sam's power? He doesn't affect our Tfilos. He doesn't affect our Torah. What does he affect? He affects the Beis HaMikdash. He destroys the Beis HaMikdash. And he destroyed two of them so far. Aside from Mishkan Shiloh, where he destroyed Mishkan Shiloh. His idea, what he wants to destroy, is the Chaf of the Yerech. He wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash that we were able to give. Now there's a medrash. How many walls are there of the Beis HaMikdash? You'd think four, right? But no, there's six. Because we're surrounded on all sides. Four walls, one on the top and one on the bottom. Who made these walls? The first wall was made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Machane of Malachim, with a camp of angels. So they say that every wall of the Beis HaMikdash takes a gematria of 103. This is really unbelievable. Machane is a gematria of 103. So altogether, Machane from a Kadosh Baruch Hu is one wall. Avraham Avinu made the second wall. What did he call the Beis HaMikdash? Called it a?
Har.
Har is a gematria of 205, with Kolel is 206. It's 103 times 2. What did Yitzchak Avinu call the Beis HaMikdash?
Sadeh.
The third wall was made by him. Sadeh is a gematria of 309. Again, 206 plus 103. Another 103. Comes along Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu, I'm sorry, makes a fourth. Bias. Bias is a gematria of
412.
Again, 309 plus 103. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu, and he davens to build up the fifth, the Rekia, the top of the Beis HaMikdash. The very, very top, said our tefillos don't go straight up Shemaim, and he davens Vaeschanan. Vaeschanan al Hashem, and he creates the power of tefillah. The gematria of Vaeschanan, 515. It's 412 plus 103. So now there's only one more to make. To make it 618 is the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. What do you do in order to make that floor? It's us. When an Ish and an Isha are together to be able to form a relationship where the Shekhinah comes down, Ish and Isha are the gematria of 618. It's off by one again because of Kohel, but 618. And when the Shekhinah comes down inside a marriage, when we're able to do it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates that sixth wall of the Beis HaMikdash, the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, the floor of where the Beis HaMikdash is. What happens when you take the Shekhinah away from an Ish and an Isha? You take the Yud out of Ish. You take the He out of the Isha. What ends up happening?
Ish.
That's the famous, obviously the famous word that they all say at Sheva Brachos, right? The Pshat is that the fire that destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Because that means the sixth wall is vulnerable. This something can come in and destroy the entire Beis HaMikdash. What's this fight? The fight between the Sam, destroying the Chaf of the Yerech, versus Yaakov Avinu. What Yaakov Avinu is trying to do is to build up the Beis HaMikdash's fourth, the sixth side. So he crosses Nachal Yabok.
Nachal Yabok, if you spell out the words, Yud, Yud Vav Dalid, Beis, Beis Yud Kuf, Kuf, Kuf Vav Pei, is the Gematria of 618. It's altogether 20 plus 4, 12 plus 186 for 618. He was trying to make it showing, trying to make the Beis HaMikdash showing to be able to make sure there were all six walls there, that everything was going to be okay. That at the end of days, we'll be able to win that war. The Sam goes and hits him b'chaf yirecho. That we're not there yet. We're not there yet. He still hits him in the chaf. He causes there to be a little bit of a fight between Ish v'Isha. A little bit of shalom bias issues with Yish v'Isha. And every time there's a little bit of shalom bias issues, when a person is not getting together with his wife, it's very hard for him to get together with other people as well. Very hard for him to have any connection with anybody else, which causes more rifts in Klal Yisrael. More rifts in Klal Yisrael, which causes even harder problems. That's the Satan trying to destroy and hitting him b'chaf yirecho. So what do you do? So that at the end of the days, Satan comes along and he sings Shira. Yaakov grabs him, and the Satan goes up and he says, I need to sing Shira and Shemayim. Why? Because his task has been fulfilled. Yaakov, you defeated me. It's time for me to sing Shira and Shemayim. There's a remnant to what's going to happen in Lasid Lavo when the Sam says, I'm done. I'm not fighting Klal Yisrael anymore. I'm done. What happens then? Ki Allah HaShachar. Allah HaShachar is the Gematria of 618. 513 and 105. That's the pshat of what's going to be at the very, very end of days. That the whole idea of this Allah HaShachar and the concept of what's going to happen is the full building of the Beis HaMikdash there. And the last little word that we're going to say is like this. The Malach didn't know Yaakov Avinu's name. So why did he have to know his name in order to give him the bracha? He asks Yaakov Avinu, he says to Yaakov Avinu, as he's fighting him, he says, let's see the pasuk of Yitzchak here. It says, Ki Allah Shachar. He said, what's your name? Vayomer Yaakov. And he said, Yaakov. Vayomer Lo Yaakov Yomer Ochim, call him Yisrael. Your name's not going to be Yaakov anymore. It's going to be Yisrael. You fought with gods, in other words, a Malach. And you fought with men, Esav and Lavan. And you're going to defeat everyone. You're going to be the winner of everything. You're going to be the absolute, you're going to be the winner. Vayishal Yaakov, Vayomer Gidin Hashemecha. Yaakov asked him, and he said, what's your name? What's your name? It's like, introduce yourself. Why is this that you're asking for my name? Why bother asking for my name? He blessed them there. Okay. The famous words, is that's the name of the Satan. Yeah, what's the pshat? The Satan says to you, why ask questions? Just do it. The whole Nike symbol, it's all about taiva. Just do it. Don't ask any questions. Don't bother. Is it a pella that all the people that work for Nike, the biggest minovels of all time, the biggest mushkasim, the people that are always over on Ish HaSish, they're over on everything, they do whatever they want to do, every single one of them, there's not one of them, not one of them that you can think of that has been over on something. Every single one.
Jordan.
A-Rod. Tiger Woods. No.
They're not even
I'm not talking about Jews.
Yeah,
Ish HaSish is still a problem.
That's not Ish HaSish.
There is Ish HaSish.
Not for a man.
The Rambam says there's three. Yeah.
Only a married woman.
It depends. By a non-Jew, how you define a woman being married is very different by non-Jews than it is by Jews. So according to the Rambam,
it's actually a lot easier amongst non-Jews.
It's for them to be married. Yeah, which makes Ish HaSish a more rampant problem. That would be exactly why Ish HaSish is such a big problem. So yeah, you do have that. Okay, I'm not going to argue whether A-Rod's going to Gehenna. That's not my that's another issue altogether, you know? That's something totally else. I mean, aside from all that. But why would... Number one, what in the world is this, the Malach asking the Satan, saying to Yaakov, what's your name again? He just got into a massive fight with him. He fought with him all night long, punched him in the leg, and he's like, so what's your name again? You didn't know his name? What does he need to know his name for before he blessed him? What's the point behind that? Number two, why would Yaakov have to ask the Malach for his name? Why would he bother? What's he asking for? So here's the idea. Says the Chasam Sofer, Vayikra is the way that Malachim connect to one another. How do you know that? We say it every Kiddusha. The Karazeh, Elzeh, the Omar. They call out to each other, and then they say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. What does Vikara mean? What does that mean? The Targum of Vikara, of calling out to one another, is the word umekablin from uvalitzion. We say it every day in uvalitzion. Umekablin dein mean dein. They accept from one another. How does calling out mean the word accept? What's the shaykhs? In order to say a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, Malachim are not on the level to say God's name. They're not on that level. In order to say their name, they have to increase Kiddusha upon themselves. They have to make themselves more Kadosh, more holy. How does a Malach get himself more holy? He connects to something higher than him. Connects to a higher Malach. Like Michael is greater than Gabriel. And Gabriel is greater than Raphael. So if Raphael wants to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he calls out to Gabriel. And he calls out Gabriel's name, he connects to Gabriel, and then he's able to go up higher to be able to call out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Bekara Zeh El Zeh. Then, V'Omar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. They're able to make themselves holy, and then they can say Hashem Tzvakos. Then they're able to get to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. But in order to do it, they have to connect to a higher source. So that's Pshat Vayikra El Moshe. In the very beginning of Parshas Vayikra, where he calls out to Moshe, and Rashi says, and this is the lashon that Malachim used for one another, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants to speak to a person, brings a connection down to that person, then gives them the ability to see that nevuah that they need to see. He calls out to him and connects to him. Obviously, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to become holier. It's the opposite. He needs the person to connect back to him. That shefa that goes down from a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Bekara, through the Mekabalin, where he's making him a receptacle to be able to receive the nevuah, makes him holier and he's able to receive the nevuah. So here, Yaakov even wants a nevuah, but he's on a higher level than the Malach. He's at a higher level than the Malach was ever on. So he can't do so until he says Yaakov Avinu's name. So he calls out to Yaakov and he says, what's your name? I have to connect to you, Yaakov, because you're higher than me. Because a tzaddik is greater than any Malach. A tzaddik is in world that a Malach can ever be in. Yaakov thinks, he assumes that he has to do the same, just like the Malach called out my name and therefore gave me a bracha. He thinks I have to call out the Malach's name, connect to him in order to give a bracha, because Yaakov wanted to give a bracha to the Satan. Yaakov's plan was to give a bracha over to the Satan. So he thought he had to be a Makabalin again. So he called out to him and he said, what's your name? To which the Satan said, why do you need to know my name? You're greater than me. A person who's greater than another doesn't call out the name of someone lower than them in order to get higher and say a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. You don't need me to call it a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Klal Yisrael can say a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name on their own without anything else. So that's why your lamawa, your face is chakuk b'kifei hakavod. You have the koach, and therefore by Yavarech Oso Shem and he blessed him there is not the Satan to Yaakov. Vayavarach Oso Shem is Yaakov to the Satan. Yaakov gave a bracha to the Satan. How do you bless a Malach? My voice is gone. Well, how are you supposed to bless a Malach? What do you bless him? Like, you should fly well. Like, there's nothing to say. Like, you should be close to God. He is close to God. There's nothing to say to a Malach. How do you bless a Malach? It's unbelievable. The Satan is known as Sam, as the poison of God. He's known throughout Shas as Sam with a sin. Not Sam with the Samach, although that's also always spelled. The Samach and the sin are interchangeable. It's known as Sam with the sin. Kola Osik B'Torah. If you learn Torah, like Yaakov, was Osik B'Torah. Nasis Lo Sam HaChayim. It becomes an elixir of life. The Sam, the Satan, becomes Chayim. It becomes light for you, and the Satan starts working for you. Yaakov was Mevatol the Sam and turned it into a Shin. He took the sin and he turned it into a shin. Shin. Vayavarech Oso Shem. He changed the name of the Satan. He gave him a little bit of Kedusha to take away the sin and gave him a shame, a shum, turned it into a shin instead of a sin. And what's the pshat? Because a sin, where is the dot on a sin? On the left side, which is Midas Adin. He took the dot and he put it on the right side, which is Midas HaChesed. He gave Chesed to the Satan, to tell the Satan, don't be Mekatrik, don't accuse Klal Yisrael. That's the idea behind it, which is why it's the Sam Tum, Lios Al Yodecha. The Sam was changed by the Tum, the Ish Tum, which is Yaakov Avinu, to be blessed by the Ish Tum to become into shame, into a real shame, which is Shem. That was the idea of what it's going to do. And now, the Yitzhara has an ability to give us certain things that we're not able to get. The Yitzhara lets us daven. Yitzhara allows us to be able to do mitzvahs and chesed. It doesn't allow us to learn. Learning is very hard because the Satan knows that he has to fight the Amidat Torah. But there's something the Yaakov gave us that the Satan cannot fight us with. You have to find out what that is. But there's something Yaakov gave every single one of us. There's a shum. There's something there that you have to fight. You have to see how you can do it. And it's very easy to defeat the Satan that way. Okay, we have to figure out what it is. But let's go. The summary is, Stam Teva, Stam nature is still miraculous. Yaakovinu knew that. Yaakovinu knew that it's still miraculous. That's why he sent either Malachim or Shluchim. Number two, Yaakov started up in order to take the Kedusha away from Esav and grab it for himself. And who is the Kedusha that he took from Esav? Rebbe. Mayor. Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael helped Esav, and Yaakov was worried because he failed with Lavan. He didn't know what he was going to do. He thought that he had wasted 6 years. In the end, he didn't. The last thing, the chaf of Yarech, that the Satan fought him in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the chaf. The chaf of Yarech is Yam Rikia Kisei, stands for the Beis HaMikdash. That was what Yaakovinu destroyed from, that was what the Satan tried to destroy from Yaakovinu. And the last thing is, the bracha of the Satan to Yaakov, that the Yaakovinu had to get something from the Satan, from Yaakovinu. The Satan had to get a name, and Yaakov, going back to the Satan. Yaakov gave a bracha back to the Satan, and the bracha was from Sum to Shum. That was the idea of Vivarach Oso Shum. Guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos. Can I actually